Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road. And those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison, or the grave. There's no other end. But they never learn.
From the pen of Raymond Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Now, with Gerald Moore, starred as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Good Neighbor Policy.
The day was hot and sticky. The city wore it like a wet shirt. To make things worse, there was a xylophone playing somewhere in the building, and that started me thinking about my neighbors. Mostly, I was thinking two things about them. One, I didn't know any of them. And two, I'd like to shake the hand of the fellow that banged that xylophone day and night and break it. Not a very neighborly thought, but then it had been one of those days. You know the kind that prompts the neighbors to set the dogs on each other. Yeah, but now the sun had called it day. The wind had switched from the desert to the ocean. And I was figuring I'd be a better friend of man and woman if I took a long, cool shower. But there's got to be some legal way to kill xylophone players. Oh, no, big finish yet. Hey. Yes?
Your name Marlowe, Phil Marlowe.
Yeah, that's right.
I live two apartments down the hall. You got a call on my phone.
I got a call on your phone?
Well, look, the call's there. I'm a busy guy. You wanted it, don't you?
Well, sure. Sure I want it.
Okay, come on.
All right. I didn't catch your name.
No, you didn't. In here. Phone's over there on the desk. Snap it up, will you?
Yeah, sure. Regular charmer, this fella. Hello?
Phil, it's Ann.
Oh, hi, honey.
Something must be wrong with your phone. I keep dialing your number and getting a very unpleasant little man.
He's not so little. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's out tonight, Phil.
Oh, no.
Oh, Beanie sprained her ankle a little while ago, and I'll have to fill in for her at the hospital tonight.
That does it.
What?
Nothing. We'll do it again, huh?
Soon, I hope, Phil. Call me tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, sure. Goodbye, honey.
Bye, Phil.
The lady says she keeps dialing my number and getting you. I'll report it.
Yeah, why don't you?
That's what I said. Oh, packing for a trip?
In between phone calls for you, yeah.
Look, it's only been one, and I said I'm sorry. What do you want, blood?
Leave.
Thanks, neighbor. Like I said, it had been hot all day. I wasn't getting any cooler exchanging pleasantries with Laughing Boy. Back in my own apartment, I mixed myself a tall, cool drink and thought about Anne, who was neither. I just about decided on that shower again when I remembered about calling the phone company. I reached for the phone, and just as I did... Hello?
Art, this is Rita. Listen, Ernie's crossed us. I can't talk now. I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. We'll clear out alone.
Hey, look,
10 minutes, Art. Be ready.
Sure. Yeah, I'll be ready, baby. Oh, my name isn't Art. And it isn't. Oh, well, one good turn and all that. Boy. Come on, open up, will you? I got a message for you. Come on, answer the door. Anybody home?
My, we're being rather boisterous out here, aren't we?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I guess he's not home, huh?
It would almost appear that way, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes, I guess it would, yeah.
You're apartment 6, aren't you? Philip Marlowe, is it?
Well, yeah, I am. Mrs.
Miss Garrity. Oh. Miss Adley Garrity. rather a nice name, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I do, Miss Garrity.
And apartment two.
Are you really? Well, apartment two.
I passed you ever so many times in the hall or coming in and out of the door, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just never felt that I'd known you somehow.
No, I suppose not, but then you
see, I often say to Mrs. Evans, she's apartment one. Isn't it shameful, I say, that we don't know our own neighbors anymore? Here we are, under the same roof, as it were, and yet, what do we share with each other, really?
The utilities?
Oh, but that seems so little. Why, except for Mrs. Evans, the Randalls, the McCombs, the Nelson girls, and... let me see now. Oh, yes, that young girl who plays with that softball team. Oh, what's her name?
Well, I really don't know.
Patty, that's it.
Yeah.
Patty Netherton. Well, as I say, except for those two or three people, I don't know a soul in the building.
Well, that's the way it goes, isn't it? Some days you don't know a soul. Tell me, Miss Garrity, among the people in the building you don't know, do you also not know the fellow who lives here?
Apartment three.
Yeah, this door I've been beating on. Who's that?
You don't know. And you're making all that fuss.
Yeah, well, it does seem silly, doesn't it?
Well, I should say so. But I'm afraid I won't be much help to you there, Mr. Marlowe. He's our newest tenant, you know. Moved in less than a month ago.
Oh, well, I just thought...
No, I don't feel that I really know him at all. He's just rather a tall young man, brown hair, quite nice eyes, I've always thought.
Oh, that sounds like my
phone. I never see anyone with him, though, something to his own wolf type, I
guess. Well, look, thanks, Miss Garrity, but
have seen someone come in with him.
Can I catch up to you again, Miss Garrity?
Whether it was man, woman, or child, I really couldn't honestly say. Mostly Mr. Minter.
Mr. Minter, well, thank you, and good night, Miss Garrity.
Well, I'm there.
It hung up while Adelaide Garrity was telling me all she didn't know about the man named Minter. On the call before, someone named Rena had called him Art. Could be my unfriendly neighbor in apartment three was Art Minter. Yeah, well, that's pretty simple. Left me nowhere. Then there was Rena's message. Ernie's crossed us. I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. We'll clear out alone. Not exactly social conversation. I had a hunch about the phone call mix-up, but before I began to build a case about it, I called the chief operator at the phone company.
Chief operator?
Yeah, well, we've got a friendly little wager going here, operator. Will you settle an argument for us?
I'll try, sir.
Good. Is it possible for two telephone wires to get crossed in some way so that I could dial one number correctly and actually get the other number?
Yes, sir. That is possible.
Uh-huh.
It could happen only in the case of a slight equipment disorder, and only if the two numbers in question were on the party line.
Well, in other words, by dialing my number correctly, you get the person on my party line, and by dialing his number correctly, you get me. Is that it?
That's right, sir. Would you like to report such a difficulty?
No, thanks. Like I said, I just wanted you to set a little argument for us. Thanks very much.
Not at all, sir.
Well, now I knew Edmund. Neighbor Minter and I were on a party line, and the strange switch and calls was legitimate. Now I'd gone this far with the thing, I decided to leave the wires crossed for a while, just for laughs. And I looked at my watch. It was time to get a look at Rena. If she was coming from Mitter in 10 minutes, she was due. I left my apartment, started down the hall toward his, and sure enough.
Art, it's Rena. Oh, please, Art, hurry.
Pretty home, lady?
I'm sure he must be. I just talked with him on the phone a few minutes ago.
Oh, well, maybe he's in the shower.
Yes, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Now, please, would you mind?
That sounds like his phone.
Yes, it does. I wonder...
Yeah, so do I.
What's that?
Nothing. I mean, if he answers it, he'll probably answer your knock, too.
Yes, I suppose he will. Now, will you please leave me alone?
Darn well, the call was really for me. I opened the front door out of the welcome freshness, the evening breeze, and the scent of night-blooming jasmine. By the time I'd inhaled a little of both and walked out to the end of the sidewalk,
Rena suddenly barged out of the building, looked desperately up and down the street, and then headed toward a car parked across the way. And her car had an Arizona license. In a minute, she drove away. Back in my own apartment, I called the chief operator again. Only this time, I leveled with her about the crossed wires on my party line. After that, I took a shower and decided to end a dull day by putting in some sack time. The last conscious thought I had was Rena's urgent voice on the phone. Ernie's crossed us. I can't talk now. I'll pick you up in 10 minutes.
We'll clear our load. I still didn't get it.
I didn't get it the next morning either. But I got up dressed and was starting for the morning paper, which my newsboy with questionable accuracy always pegs in the general vicinity of my apartment door. Didn't quite get there, though, before... Hello.
Mr. Philip Marlowe?
Speaking.
This is the telephone company calling, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh?
The difficulty with your phone that you reported last night has been remedied. Normal service may be resumed.
Oh, fine, fine. Thanks for calling.
We hope you haven't been unduly inconvenient.
Oh, not at all. It's been grand.
Thank you for your patience, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, goodbye. Well, that's that. Okay, I'm coming. Hello again. I got another call for you on my phone. Same thing as last night, I think. Yeah, but the phone company just
told
me...
Look, you always argue there's a call for you on my phone. I'd come on and answer.
Well, how can I resist an invitation like that? Funny, though. Wonder how that happened.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah, I know. I did. I did, didn't I? Did I say before that I don't much care for xylophones? Or you?
I don't remember. I don't care.
No.
Get here.
Yeah. And the phone's over there on the desk. Hey, Buster, that phone's hung up. There's no call for me. What is this?
This? This is a gun, Marlowe.
Yeah, I see it is.
You know too much, Marlowe. I don't like it when you know so much. So finish.
Let's pause right here. More from the adventure.
Quite nice eyes, as Adelaide Garrity had described them, were as cold and deadly as the automatic he rammed into my stomach. It was the first time I'd gotten a really close look at him. This one was too close for comfort. I had to keep looking at him, though. I knew that if I glanced away, blinked an eye, or made anything resembling a key move, he'd blast me to kingdom come, a little ahead of my time. He was dead wrong on one score, though.
You got my call from Marina last night. You know too much.
How can I know too much? I don't know anything. Now, look, Minter.
When I saw you last night, you didn't know my name. You've been asking questions around, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so have I. Come on, Gumshoe. We're going to take a little walk.
Now, look, kid, you're all wrong. When
after we take that little walk, we're going to take a little ride. You can tell me all about how wrong I am as long as you can talk. Let's get going.
Okay, okay.
Remember, Marlowe, you're just going to walk down the hall and out of the building with me. No funny stuff. This gun's staying right in your bank.
I see what you mean.
And the dawn comes up like a riot, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, Miss Garrity.
And Mr. Minter, I believe. We're up early, aren't we?
Yes, we are. A little too early, if you ask me.
Oh, have you the hiccups, Mr. Marlowe? If you do, I know the best cure. Just put your hands up high over your head.
No, I don't have hiccups, Miss Garrity.
Oh, then perhaps it was Mr. Minter.
No, lady, I don't have hiccups either.
Well, someone hiccuped and it wasn't me. Oh, but no matter, I just get out to my paper. I won't keep you, gentlemen. I know you must be off somewhere. And it's such a lovely morning. I don't believe it's as warm today, do you?
Seems warmer to me somehow.
No, I don't believe it is. Do you, Mr. Minter?
Look, lady, we're in a hurry.
Well, I'm sure I'm not keeping you. I must say I was just trying to do the neighborly thing, that's all.
Yeah, I
was saying to Mrs. Evans just the other day, what happened to the old-fashioned good neighbor policy?
Look, lady.
And this little incident this morning is certainly answer enough for me. It's gone. That's what it is. Gone.
Get moving, Marlo.
Miss Carity, you're the one who plays that delightful xylophone, Marlo.
Yes. Oh, you can see it from the doorway here.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm so glad you enjoy it, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, I do. I wanted to tell me, would you... Oh, I know it's a lot to ask.
Play something for you.
Yes.
Mr. Marlowe, come in.
You make one move for her door.
I'm going to kill her soon, Lily. She's right in front of me.
Well, come in, gentlemen. Or aren't you a music lover, Mr. Minter?
Sure I am. It's just that I'm...
Let me get your paper for you, Marlowe.
Miss Carity! Get inside your apartment, Miss Carity, quick.
At this time, you won't, Minter. Payroll on that wall, Miss Carity. Don't get near the door.
Oh, what on earth possessed you, Mr. Marlowe? Why, you struck him in the face with my paper.
Yeah, I did. Wait a minute. Can you see the street from your windows, Miss Carity?
Yes.
Here's your paper. Sorry, it's wrinkled.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm afraid I still don't understand your behavior, Mr. Marlowe.
Yeah, he beat it, all right. He'll get lost in that traffic in no time.
What will Mr. Minter think? You're striking in that way.
I've got a mean streak. Hey, wait a minute. Let me see that headline.
Well, sure, I don't know what's in it. It's Glenn, I haven't had...
Will you let me see it a minute, please?
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Man murders an investment holdup. Ernest Holand, 38, employee at Henshaw Investment Company, was found shot to death when the company opened its doors this morning. $50,000 in cash and securities were missing from the safe. Police believe Holand worked late last night in the 15th Blue Company safe. Officials say the police were attempting to locate Holand's widow, Mrs. Rena Holand, whom neighbors saw leaving the house with a suitcase.
Wow!
Ernie and Rena!
Friends of yours, Mr. Marlowe.
No, but Minter's right. I do know too much.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Marlowe, but I don't feel up to playing for you right now.
What?
You know, this morning has gotten off to such a peculiar start. I'm just not in the mood for the xylophone.
Oh, I know how you feel. Don't give it another thought, Miss Garrity. Ever again. I called the landlady when I got back to my own apartment to see if she knew anything about Minter, like where he worked. She was good enough to be out of town. I even went back to Miss Garrity's, but she'd already hit the trail to share the morning's excitement with any of a dozen people, including probably that girl who played with the softball team. But old Mr. McWilliams, the janitor, was bringing up the morning mail. Morning, Mr. Mack. How's the mail situation?
12B has two packages again.
Again, huh? Mm-hmm. How about me?
Well, sir, you don't even read advertisements this morning. How's it? Sorry.
Yeah, well, you can't win all the time, huh?
No, can't.
Tell me, how about Mr. Minter?
How's that?
Mr. Minter, you know, he's in apartment 3. He asked me to pick up his mail if there is any.
Sure, if you can carry it all. Just his postcard.
Oh, I can manage, yes. Well, thank you.
He's from his mother in Tucson.
Really?
Mm. They're all well.
Oh, well, that's good, that's good. Nice to see you again, Mr. Mack.
Same here. The old thing.
Yeah?
Is it hot enough for you?
It was. And Mr. Mack was right. And his family were all well, except for the return address in Tucson. There wasn't a lead on the whole postcard. But who puts leads on postcards? I took the card back to the apartment with me and called a questionable character I knew in Tucson and told him to find out all he could about Art Minter, quick. Then I remembered about Rena's car having an Arizona license and asked him to check her. Yeah, and Ernest Holand, too. Called back in an hour.
Well, he's got no record, Marlo. This Minter guy asked me to check out. Oh, get this.
What?
About a year ago, he gets divorced by his wife. You hear?
Yeah, go ahead.
And right away, she hops over to Mexico with this Tolan fella you ask about and marries him.
Rena did?
Raina, wait a minute. I got it written down here, so. Yeah, Raina. Raina, that's her name.
Yeah.
Now, Paul was with an investment outfit here in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he transferred to L.A. a month ago.
Yeah, that checks. What about Minter? Find out where if he works here. Well, yeah, if he does, that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marlon, this is old Rocky.
What?
He works at the Hollywood Library.
Hollywood Library?
Honest, his old lady told me.
Let's break right here. More from the adventures of Philip.
It rocked me, all right. The whole thing did. Ernest Holland, now dead, had been set up as a patient a year ago back in Arizona. Only at some point yesterday, he got wise and decided to do the investment job alone. Trouble was, Raina didn't get to Art with the news in time. She got to me. Now even the law couldn't locate Raina. And the last time I saw Minter, he didn't act... like a fellow who was heading for the Hollywood Library. Still, you never know. I started out into the hall, observed gratefully that Miss Garrity's xylophone was stilled, if only for the moment. But when I got about even with Minter's door, something happened very like a familiar song starting all over again. It was Minter's phone ringing. I listened at his door. There was no move from inside after the ring. Something told me he was another lark that needed spraying. Yeah?
Art, it's Raina. Where have you been?
It's out for a while.
Are you all right? You don't sound it.
Yeah. I just wondered. Where are you?
I'm in a... You sound so funny. Is someone there?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not the police, Art.
No, neighbor. You talk, huh?
Oh, because you can. All right, I will. I'm at the Bellflower in Ventura. If you call here, ask for Mrs. Guthrie, that's me.
Got it.
You got everything, didn't you? When you... Well, I mean, about Ernie. You're still going to split with me, aren't you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I was afraid after I ran out. But you understand, don't you? You weren't home.
Skip it, huh?
All right. Art, you get off work at 4, don't you? Nothing's happened about that.
4, yeah.
Well, come up here as soon as you can after that. I'm... Well, just hurry, Art, please.
I will.
Bye.
Bye. Excuse me, but can you...
Please, not so loud.
You. Lost my head, I'm sorry. Can you tell me where I can find Mr. Minter, please?
Mr. Arthur Minter?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the stacks on the mezzanine. That stair ahead.
Thank you very much.
Well, not at all. And walk as quietly as you can, please. People are reading.
I wouldn't disturb him for the world. Matthews. I needn't have. He didn't come through.
I waved the squad car off to headquarters in the library curb. Yeah, well, that's that. On the way back to my apartment, I got to thinking about a house with no neighbors, no xylophones, no crossed wires. No fun, either. You know, all kinds of things go on in apartment houses. All kinds of people leading all kinds of lives. What's the line? Love thy neighbor as thyself? Yeah. But most people act like they hate themselves. Oh, well. There's got to be some legal way to kill xylophone players.
Adventures of Philip Marlowe, bringing you Raymond Chandler's most famous character, star Gerald Moore, are produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and written for radio by Kathleen Height. Featured in the cast were High Everback as Art Minter and Jane Morgan as Miss Garrity, with Vivi Janis as Anne, Doris Singleton as Rena, Parley Bear.